if you weren't awake, you are now. How's that for a quick intro? There we go. Hey, good evening. How are you? Enjoy that opening session with Pastor Noe. Good stuff, wasn't it? Cool. Hey, my name is Jason Tipton. I serve on our Send Relief team in Denver, and I also serve on our Send Network assessment team. And so it's a pleasure to be able to introduce somebody special to me, to you, because it's deeply personal. So you're here to think about restoration. And several years ago, God was really working in my heart, like, how do we lead restoration in our churches? And I just said, hey, I want to give myself to this. But guess what? I don't have a clue how to go about this. I didn't even have the verbiage to even be able to talk about it appropriately. And I just started asking the Lord, will you please send somebody that can help me think about this biblically, help me think about this holistically, and in a way that mobilizes our churches? And God sent me Derek Scherfe. And through the last couple of years, I have had the pleasure of getting to know him and getting to know his heart, both for the local church and church multiplication, just not in the States, but across the nations, and then also his heart for holistic restoration in our cities and how he can, and how his desire is to lead churches to be on mission in that third value of restoration that we have as a Send Network family. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give it to Derek so that he can share. So God, thanks for just these men and women in the room who have committed themselves to gospel proclamation and holistic restoration in their cities. So God, I just pray that during this time that you would use Derek to speak to our hearts, just as you have used Derek to speak into my life and into my heart. And so God, I just pray that this would be just a time of receiving a gift from you, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.
Hey, fam. Okay, you gotta talk back to me a little bit. I know we're tired, we've been traveling. What's up, fam? Good, okay. Hey, I've got a lot packed in to this little hour block, but I just need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit for a minute. Can I do that? If you say no, like, come on, get out of here. So you can ask my sweet wife, it's in the back row here. The last couple of weeks, I have been wrestling with the Lord about what to share in this space. Not because I don't necessarily know what to say. I almost have too much stuff to say. And I think sometimes that's the problem, right? I've done this talk before, and I've been wrestling with it. Okay, I want it like fresh loaves to give. I don't just want to get up and give another talk. And I've been wrestling with it, and I didn't know what it was. So I was like, all right, Lord, I'm just going to be obedient to what I know to do. But Pastor Noe preached what was in my heart, I think, for us tonight. And so I think the reason the Lord didn't give it to me is because it wasn't my sermon to preach. Yes, it's a sermon to preach. But on the flight over here this morning, I'm praying for you and even for my heart. And something that was on my heart deeply that I told my boy Jason, I was like, hey, at the end, can I blow something up here and do something different? He goes, man, you do what you want to do. Whatever. Go with the ghost, as they say. But Pastor Noe preached it. And so here at the end, I just want to open up for anybody that wants to receive prayer that is feeling some of the things that he's talking about, particularly around spiritual warfare. I just feel like there's some people that are experiencing depths of spiritual warfare. And me and Jason, we'll be around. We just love to lay hands on you and pray. And I know this is kind of heavy, but I may not be able to get back up at the end. And I got to get it off my chest so that I can do what else I'm supposed to do. It's particularly around suicide. He said that word multiple times tonight, and that was what was on my heart. On the plane this morning, is to pray for somebody who feels at the end of the rope. And you don't have to have shame around that. And it's spiritual warfare. So I know that might be like, that's kind of heavy. We're here to talk about God's heart for restoration. But one of my best friends, Michael Talley, just left. I was like, man, you got to pray for me. I'm really feeling this. And I got to like do the thing they've asked me to do. And I kind of told him what was on my heart. And he goes, man, those things are not mutually exclusive. Aligning with God's heart for restoration for them, man, no, for us. In our own hearts. Okay. And so I just can't like hard pivot out of that. And so I just want to just give us a moment to pray again, coming out of Pastor Noe's talk, and then I'm going to jump in. But it isn't a hard pivot. It's all connected. Yep.
You're really speaking to me right now. I'm not personally dealing with suicide, but my wife and I have a daughter. She's struggling right now. Mm-hmm. This is for her. Let's pray for Jayla. We serve the Lord. She loves the Lord.
Brandon, is it okay if we, some of us, just lay hands on you guys?
We were on our way here. We live in Arizona. And one of our older daughters called us and said that she found her sister in the closet with a knife. And we were able to talk to her and ask, what are you doing? We were almost here. I was like, did we turn around? She was going to kill herself. And anyway, this has been extremely burdensome. We felt like the Lord wanted us to continue here, struggling with feeling like negligent parents by staying here, but we felt like we needed to be here. So this is, you have no idea how shaken I am right now. this is a big deal for us. Thank you for being obedient.
Hey, Jason, can you come up and pray too? Is it okay if we lay hands?
Absolutely.
Is that okay? I know we're here for a breakout, but can we have time to minister real quick? If you're close by, extend a hand. If not, you can just extend a hand from a distance.
What's your daughter's?
Jayla.
Jayla. Lord Jesus, just to hear the cries of the saints right now, that's all I'm going to pray, right? Just in this moment, just hear, Lord, the prayers for Jayla. Lord, Psalm 126:1 keeps coming to my mind, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. It's like we were in the dream. And so, God, that's what we, yes. And so, Lord, we want to ask that you would bring full restoration to her life right now, and that you would give her vision beyond her current circumstances, Lord, and that she would see you and see you as, yes, that healing, as the healer. I mean, we were praying as Jehovah for Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides and provides, just not the physical things, but the emotional and spiritual. Yes, Lord, would you do that for her right now? Pray for our precious parents. God, the tension that they feel right now. Lord, would they feel your presence and let them know that you are with them. And even with the saints here, it's just in the presence of your spirit. Lord, we know that you are with them. And so we claim that. Yes, your presence. And so, God, I pray that you would give them comfort. And let them know that you weep with them. You're close to the brokenhearted. And you love our tears. And those who go out weeping will come back with joy. So, Lord, even in our weeping, we weep with our brother and sister. And so, God, I pray.
Father God, these parents are not failures.
That's right. There you go. Bring it. Yes.
Lord, and I pray that they would just know that deep within, that we have things in our lives that aren't working out the way we thought it would.
Yeah.
And that they are not failures in front of you.
It's good.
They're your sons, your daughter, and these girls are theirs, authority. Lord, are yes. yours. And I pray your Holy Spirit would just flow, be, arrest, cover them in
yes.
peace.
Yes.
And I pray that this man and this woman sitting in front of us, Lord, would know that your peace is with them.
Yes.
Yes.
With them, and that
yes.
not
yes.
yes. They've been in your presence because of the calling you've given to them. And I pray that they would know that they are yours and they're doing the right thing. They're before yes. you. Yes. They're not negligent. Yes. They are right before yes. you.
Mm. Yes. Beloved son and daughter in whom you are well pleased. Mm. Somebody else. Yes.
Long for and see your work and the yes, Lord. Heal the struggle
and the pain that we're going
through this month. Yes.
Lord, whether it comes
to a place where you know that joy. Lord, give their older daughter wisdom
yeah.
from you
yeah.
as she speaks and as she tries to be strong for her sister. Help her, Lord, to say what you wanted to say in the next moment and throughout the night, Lord. And you just sat down in their house, Lord. I just pray for your protection over their home.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, I ask you to sit there with them.
Yes.
And be
there
yes. Lord,
yes.
In Jesus' name, I ask you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Psalm 34:5, with an angel of the Lord in pursuit of our enemies, Lord. Somebody else.
God, right now I pray that you're just right now lining up friends and everybody else right now in her life just to come up right beside her. To help her realize that she's not alone, that others have
yeah.
God, pray that whoever that you bring her into her life, whether it's additional family or just other friends that she may not already know that there's somebody else in her school, her church, her youth group that is going through that right now, has the same exact feeling. God, I pray that you connect those people. Connect them so that they can talk with each other and they can know that they're not alone. And that you can
use
this experience in their life to not hold them back, don't let the devil bring them down, but that they can live through this experience, they can grow, and they can get closer to you, and so that way one day they can be on the other side of that, and they can be that example, and they can be there for somebody that can
yes. Yes.
God, would you orchestrate every single word that is spoken to her in these next few hours?
Yeah.
From people who are speaking to into her life right now, would you orchestrate every single one of those words that in a way that she would know that she's loved by you?
Yeah.
Lord, we declare life, and we declare your peace and love in their family, Lord. We cast out all demons, and we remove and cancel all the liars, and Lord, give them peace in their heart so that you will live and you will lead them, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for you are our Savior, and you are our protector, and you are our God of God, and Lord, Lord. And we declare your victory over this family, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Lord, you are sovereign, and you're in control.
Come on.
Yeah.
And you waste not suffering. And Lord, I just ask that you would be our strength,
yes.
our wisdom, and our shield. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we shall not fear.
That's right.
You are with us. You are our comforter, friend.
Yes.
Lord, may you be glorified through this.
Yes. Yes. And so, Lord, thank you for hearing. And thank you for responding. And we all said, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Thank you for being honest and vulnerable with us. Thanks. Here's what we're going to do. I'm trying to be obedient. Is that okay, guys? Can we just... I don't think this is a waste of an hour. I had planned to do this a little bit later, but we're not done praying, I don't think. And so as we talk about aligning with God's heart for restoration, they asked me what I wanted to call this. And I was like, that's what I want to call it. We got to get on the same page about what restoration is. But before, I mean, we might get there. You can come back tomorrow. And we may get into some of the nuts and bolts. But I think there has to be an alignment, right? Because our hearts are misaligned. We don't always care about what God wants. We're not always breaking. Our hearts aren't breaking for the things that break his. We get distracted. And so there needs to be an alignment with God's heart, not just our heart, not just what we can drum up, not what's on our prospectus, not what we can stats we can Google, but God's heart for restoration for our neighborhoods and for our context. And so I had three caveats on the front end here is I'm here in the trenches with you guys as a church planter, moved in the city of Denver 4 years ago. Church is a couple years old, 3 years old, however you want to count it. We launched a couple years ago. I'm in the trenches with you trying to like figure out what to say on Sundays and shepherd people and raise money and do all the things. I'm in the trenches and I am not coming in any way of an expert. Can we just get that out of the way? Like I get so cynical when I come to these things. And so I just want to name it and be like, that's not what I'm trying to be and do, right? I tremble that I'm up here with a mic, to be honest with you. But we're trying to stumble our way in to equipping God's church to step into what he has for us in our context. And so I don't know. I just want to remove any whatever that is. That's the first thing. It might be just my own insecurity coming out, but there you go. Second is I want to come in with an assumption here, and I think it's a safe room to make an assumption like this, is I'm coming in with an assumption is that we're on the same page about some Bible, right, around God's heart, that to love God and to love neighbor, like we can't separate those two things. Can we just assume that we're all on the same page there? There's a lot of Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus, right? Jesus says, I hate the noise of your songs because you neglected justice. Stop singing to me, right? You fast and you pray, but yet you have not, it's not the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of the wicked and to let the oppressed go free, to have a heart that motivates out of compassion and mercy for brokenness in our context and our neighborhoods. And we could go to Jesus, right? And he says that you gave you did this to the least of these. You did it to me. And he's like, well, when did we do that to you, Jesus? Like, no, when you did this to those people who, whatever classification is a bottom dweller or somebody that's an other or an outsider, when you move toward them in compassion, you were doing that to me because you cannot separate your love for God and your love of neighbor. James would say it that way, right? Of like, if we say we have faith, but our works do not, it is not consistent with that faith, we have to check our faith. And so I'm just coming in with some assumptions. Is that okay? That we can just say, yes, we agree that this stuff matters of God's heart for restoration. But I want us to lean into some prayer here around our neighborhoods, our context, your city. Because what I don't want to do is get up and talk about what God's doing in Denver. That might be helpful, but probably not because that's not your context. I don't live where you live. God did not tap me on the shoulder and tell me to go where he told you to go. He's called you to go where you are. And so I'm just here to say, we can talk about restoration. We can draw some stuff up on a whiteboard. We can get handouts. We got all that stuff. And that's good, right, and true, and important. But man, I'm just over some of that. And I'm just going, God, would you align our hearts with yours? Would you just put it down in our soul. Some of you guys came in just to hear this, is that you are not starting anything in your context, in your neighborhood, in your city. We're starting a church, bro. No, God has been doing a work long before we rolled up. He'll be doing the work long after, and he is working right now. I think tonight's a proof. And he's wanting to do the work in us. He sees you. He sees every one of you, and he sees the context that you're in, and he sees the place that you're in, and he loves it more than you do. So here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray, but not for your own context, because I want you to filter through your grid here. But I want you to reach to the person to your right. And if you're on the end, you don't have a person on your right, I guess go left or something, okay? I want you to, if it's okay, you can ask permission. But lay your right hand on their left shoulder, right? Math. It's hard for me. It's not even math, see? But lay hands if it's okay. And I want you to just take 10 seconds to get their name, and you'll have to like do a pivot to get the person with your shoulder. Take 10 seconds each. Say, my name is, and this is where I live, where I'm called. I don't want your perspectives and your Google stats, none of that. Say that. But this is my first name, and this is where I live. And I want you, with your hand on, to actually pray for their context, that God would, not that God would move, that God is moving, and that his kingdom would come in that place as it is in heaven. Let's just start that way. Right? Let's pray for the places that God's called us to align with God's heart. So get names and then go. All right, if you are not beginning to pray, you're doing it wrong. Talk to the Lord, not to each other. Father, we just pause right now to acknowledge that one day your glory will cover the earth as waters cover the sea. So God, would you expand our imagination even about what that prophetic vision looks like and what that would be like when your glory, God, covers the earth, covers the Western United States, covers every people and language with your beauty, as water covers sea. God, my mind can't even fathom what that even means. Oh, but I long for it. We long for it. And we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, and fix this. Set right what sin has broken. Would you get your glory through your kingdom in breaking into streets and boroughs and in homes and in brothels, God? And Lord, until that day in our longing, we just say, God, we want to participate with what you are doing in the here and now. As we look with eager hope and anticipation of what will be, it will be when you set it all right. You restore it all. You are reconciling all things to yourself, God. that would fuel the way that we show up in the places that you placed our feet. So I pray for three groups of people. I pray for those of us who maybe hear talk like what is about to happen and feel shame and guilt. That we're not doing enough, that we're distracted by all kinds of things, and don't have the resources, barely showing up. So God, I pray against any guilt and shame. That there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. But God, I do pray, Spirit of God, for conviction. Help us to know the difference between conviction and condemnation, God. God, I pray for a second group of people who maybe has some pride and arrogance, that we think that we know our context. And God, I pray for those of us who are trying to be faithful and good missionaries and stewards, but God, I pray by your Spirit, not because of anything I'm going to say, but because of your work and your word, that you would humble us to actually to see our neighborhoods and our cities and our towns as you see it. So would you correct any faulty assumptions that we may have, any prejudice? Uproot us, God. Maybe even some past just jaded failures or just bitterness that we have, hard-heartedness, God. Would you soften our hearts for the place that you've called us? And then lastly, God, I pray for the person who just doesn't know where to start, feels confused, overwhelmed. God, I do pray that something would be tangibly a tool in our hands as we leave here. But so Lord, as we talk about tools, I pray that we're not pivoting from what we've been doing for the majority of this time is desperately seeking you. That the tool would be wielded in our hands by your power and not by us. So we say, God, what you want to do in our neighborhoods, in our towns, in our cities, not to us, but to your name be the glory. And would you just help us to take a little bit closer step in that trajectory tonight. Strengthen us the way we need to be strengthened, God. And all God's people said, amen. Okay, I probably should get this thing started, right? Well, how was that? 30 minutes from now. Got it. Okay, anybody hungry? Because I'm getting hungry, but let's go. I have food that you know not of, so let's just chew on that food while we're waiting on dinner, okay? I got two little mental hooks for us for the rest of our time. Two little mental hooks. If you're like me, I'm a simple-minded fella or fellowette for the ladies in the room. I just need, what are we talking about? So I got two questions. What is restoration? So if we're going to align with God's heart for it, what are we talking about? And then second is, how do we pursue it? What is it? How do we pursue it? So let's just jump in. First, what is restoration? Let me just chop it up for a minute about what it's not. Okay? What it's not. I hope this doesn't come across as cynical, and if it does, then the Spirit's got more work to do in me. There's a little bit of cynicism down in my heart sometimes, but when we talk about restoration, what we're not talking about is glorified marketing for your church. Somebody talk back to me if you agree. You know what I mean? Hey, we're a church for the city, and we're like marketing, but we're calling ourselves for the city. That's not what we're talking about. Bless you on your Insta ads. We need those things. I'm not against it. I'm just saying it might not be less than that, but it is more than that. When we talk about restoration, it's not turkeys and backpacks. Do you know what I'm talking about with turkeys and backpacks? Of like, hey, we want to care for those people, and here's a turkey on Turkey Day, and here's a backpack. Listen, we've given out a lot of turkeys. How many turkeys have we given out? I don't know. A lot of turkeys and a lot of backpacks filled with school supplies, blessing teachers in the name of Jesus. I'm not saying we don't do those things. I'm just saying when we talk about God's heart for restoration, it's not just that. We tracking? Okay. It's not us serving them. It's what God wants to do to take the broken things inside of you and inside of me, inside of us, inside of our churches, and the broken things in those who are close to us but far from Jesus in our neighborhood, and to see God, get that, not us, God set right what is broken. And that is just as much in us as it is in quote unquote them. And so we're not talking about programs. Let's do programs. I've got a lot of programs. I build programs for a living. That's what I do. I'm saying, God, you want to do a work in people. And the goal, if we're talking about poverty alleviation, for example, it's not to make like upper middle class Americans. And how many times when we talk about caring for the poor, that's kind of the aim. It's the trajectory of what we're shooting for. And I'm going, no, it's not that. Poverty is a broken relationship with a few things that we're going to talk about here. So that's what restoration is not. That's what we're not doing. It's what we're not pursuing. Well, what is it? So we got that three circles slide back there. You guys seen this before?
Yeah.
Right? Three circles. So you guys get up. This is not a breakout on evangelism, so I'm going to pull myself back. If you haven't seen this, it's actually a great evangelism resource to equip yourself and equip your people. If you haven't seen it, you should totally check it out, apps and all the things. But this is what we would train people to share the what? The gospel. So here's what I'm here to argue about. Our conversation about stepping into God's heart for restoration is a gospel issue. It's flowing out of the good news about Jesus. It's not a secondary, tertiary side program. That might just be for like the justice warriors out there. That's a popular loaded term these days, right? It's not just for the justice warriors out there. It's not just for the people that feel inclined to it. This is at the center of what God's doing among the nations. So, real quick, God exists, he is, and he made everything that is. And he had it with an intention and purpose. And that intention and purpose and that design was for you and I and all of the people that we serve to be face-to-face with God and living in a world that is fully reflecting his image. But there's a little thing called sin that we chose to look at that God and say no. That life is found around you rather than in you. And that kind of rebellion, that kind of idolatry, that kind of pride has now broken everything. Can you witness that anything's broken in our world? We can see that things are not the way they should be. But insert the good news of the gospel. Jesus, God, puts skin on and moves into the neighborhood, becomes a man, and he lives the life that we should have lived. His teaching was declaring this kingdom. The miracles were not magic tricks. They were demonstrations of what the kingdom of God looks like when it breaks in. And he says, this Jesus is saying, I'm going to die on the cross to take your sin, to help you to be reconciled to God, and I'm going to rise again, putting down payment on everything that I've said is true. That's the gospel. So that if you will just repent and believe, to turn and to trust in this good news about this Jesus, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, then you can recover and pursue God's good design for you. You can know him and walk with him in intimacy with him, and that your life has a purpose and a mission, right? You're caught up in this grand story of God and the family of God. That's the gospel. You're like, bro, I know why you're talking about that. Because it's at the center of this conversation. But what I want you to focus on is these little squigglies outside of brokenness. I don't know if you guys can see that back there. Anybody got some Hawkeyes in the back that can read these little squigglies? There's four words around those squigglies that I want to kind of frame. When we say restoration, this is what we mean. That restoration is joining with God as he is setting these broken things right. So there's four categories. And if you're keeping score at home and you're simple-minded again like me, it's an acronym that spells SEES, S-E-E-S. This is from Dahati Lewis, I think was the originator of this. So if you even think about when Jesus looked out over the crowds and he was moved with compassion because he saw them as, what, sheep without a shepherd? He saw them, and he was in his gut, man. He had conviction about this is not okay. So I want you to think about that image as we see our context, that we would see restoration in this grid. So here are the four buckets. The first S is spiritual brokenness. We're going to unpack these. The first E is emotional brokenness. The third is economic. And then the last S of C's is social. All right, so here's the class participation part of the program, okay? So I usually want y'all to break up, but We don't have time, which is great. We spin it the way we need to. So you have to talk back to me and be loud and proud and not ashamed, okay? So here's what I want to throw out a question, and you get to pick one of those four categories, and I want you just to walk me through in 2 minutes or less. Take one of those, so let's say you pick emotional, and I want you to tell me, what was God's design for the interior life and the identity of people? And how has sin broken that design? And then what would it look like to be a local church in your context to see Jesus set that right? What would a work of restoration, one example, look like to see God restore that design again? Because that's what he's doing, fam. He's restoring that brokenness. So I want you, somebody, to be loud and proud. Pick one of those, and I'm putting you on the spot. My guy, you going? All right, let's go.
Restoration of that would be finding out our truth that Romans 3:23, we're all broken in our sinful nature, but Romans 10, that we confess and believe, Romans 8, while there's no condemnation.
Yeah.
We can be exactly who God created us to be, and Romans 8, like 38-39, nothing, all creation, can separate us from the love of God who Christ Jesus.
That's how it's done, fam. That's good. Amen. That's really great. Somebody give me another one. That's emotional. She saw it. So give me one of the three.
In our
context,
social is a big one. So we're from New Mexico, which brings with it different brands Hispanics, which have conflict, and Native Americans, which also have conflict. So that's the original design for our social status, that we're one race, one people.
Let's go.
That restored, and our context would be people of a single race worshiping the Lord together in it, with no self-regard for who they are or where they come from, other than the fact that they're created in God's image.
Hey, man, so good. Thanks, bud. Somebody else, give me the other two, or one of them. Amen. Amen. All right. Economic. So good. So good. So I think even as we do this little exercise, I think it's maybe helpful. It's been helpful for us in our context to take this grid and to overlay it with conversations that you're having. And as you're out and about in the neighborhood, but just a quick word on each of these. With spiritual, there's a lot we can say. I don't have time. I'm cutting a lot. There's one thing I have to say is that when we step into this work of restoration, it is a spiritual battle. And if you've not confronted spiritual warfare explicitly, get out there on the margins, pioneering among strongholds of generations and geography. And this is a spiritual battle. Yes, for dead hearts to come alive. Like, we're sharing the Jesus, being good news people, talking about Jesus through all this. And it's also a spiritual thing that we're asking God to set people free from. And so we go saying, Lord, would you undergird us in these ways? Emotional, that it's about a poverty of the way that people view ourselves. You said it so well, brother. We see ourselves too small or too big, right? And I think, especially we talk about poverty, restoration, by the way, isn't just poverty alleviation. It could actually be white picket fence and however many cars and 2.335 kids or whatever the suburban stats are. There's brokenness behind garage doors just as much as in boroughs, right? So this isn't just the quote-unquote poor people, the materially poor. We are all poverty of identity, which Pastor Noe talked about so much tonight, so I'm going to keep going. But we want to do the work that we're doing in a way that's dignifying, that's pulling out the imago Dei in people, that's not just, we're not serving people because we're superior to them. We've got to hold those things in tension. That's a soapbox, but I got to keep going. Economic. God's design. Listen, work is now cursed. And all God's people said. Listen, work is cursed, but work is not a curse. Adam and Eve had a job to do in Genesis 1 and 2 before sin messed everything up. Of like, expand the goodness of Eden to reflect me, right? So like, work as idol, people not having enough work, and even systems that are tearing people down in that, or even work as idolatry in a lot of our cities. To go, no. But what would it look like to see not just needs met, yeah, food, clothing, shelter, yes and amen, and also to see the way that you can participate with, co-create with God, with our vocations. And then lastly is social. I think an image that we prayed into a lot as a team in Denver is a table. Jesus said that, right? The kingdom's like a table. It's like a big party. And he says to go out of the highway and the hedges and compel people to come in. There's adopted sons and daughters that aren't around the table yet. And we go and get them. Jesus goes and gets them, but we participate with them, right? As Chaim was saying tonight, like, we are the means by which God is building his church and this social reconciliation that there's no longer two people, but he's made us one in Christ. And we are not going to have us's and them, and loneliness is an epidemic right now. And I said, what would it look like to bring people in to God's family? I think you guys get it. But I don't know your context, but if this is helpful, it's free, right? Is to say, God, would I spend time in prayer and questions around this? We've got a resource in the back as you come out, right? In your digital kit, if you knew you had one of those, surprise, you have a digital kit somewhere, of a handout that our sin relief team has put together that is like super thorough and great. And I can say it's great because I didn't write any of it. It's really, really, really good of like, a lot of tangible things in that. So like, take it, pray over it, work through it, mark it up, use it with your team around this grid. So that's what restoration is. We can't have this reductionistic view that God's doing something real big in our context and in us and in our churches. But then lastly, and really quickly, how do we pursue it? So the handout is the how, right? So take that. But I just want to give you a little grid as we leave to get you thinking. How much time do I have left?
14 minutes.
All right. Oh, that's plenty. Let's go. All right. So anybody like a Venn diagram as much as me? No? Okay. All right, cool. I'll just geek out with my Venn diagram. The first word up here on this circle, if you can't see, it's the three things, context, resources at the bottom, and then burden here at the top. All right, so in the middle of this, so this is like real practical, okay? So we're going to put our tool belt on and get after it here. At the middle of this is the overlap of restoration. When all three of these things are coming together and converging together, we're still saying, okay, God, you're going to restore spiritually, emotionally, economically, socially. We're seeing through a holistic grid of whatever it looks like in our context. But I think taking these three things, like, okay, where do I start? This is the tool that I would give to help you. So I want you to see the overlap of these three circles that it gives us a kind of a three-step way to show up. The first overlap is between context, so your neighborhood, your city, your zip code, We're checking together? Come on, I know it's getting late. Yep, we're checking together over context. And then resources. Fam, I'm not talking about money alone. So I know as church planners, we're like, yeah, them resources, right? No, I'm not just talking about money. It's not less than money. I'm talking about your people. I'm talking about people that are already doing good work because we're not the only show in town that's doing good things. Resources. The overlap of your context and resources. I would say, how do we do that? What would it look like? I think that would look like that we have a posture of listening. No, man, we got to strategize. We got to show up and get out. And first, we've got to listen, to really listen. Not to the assumptions that we have, that we prayed into earlier, not what we can Google, but the real context with real flesh and bone people that we're asking questions and exploring. Have you really, with a listening ear, not to get somebody just to come to your church, or, but to like listen to the actual needs of a place? Because I think so often we roll up because we got resources we want to help. And we just roll up on the block doing the thing. And it's like, man, we don't need that. We don't want that. That's not helpful. So we got to listen. And so I would just say, as you think about this, on that document that you guys are going to get on the way out, there are some community surveys. If you've never done a community survey in your context, it's not a bolt-on, do this magic strategy. I'm just saying consider it. Of like, you can go door to door. As our church in the city, we've done two of these over the years. And then like just interacting with people at the bus stop or at Panera or wherever, asking just some really basic questions about the history of a place or what are the actual needs as they see it, right? So there's a lot of resources around listen. But it's also not just listening to the context, but it's listening to your people. It's to say, man, I'm convinced, we're talking about you're built for this, that everything that we need for the advancement of God's mission exists in God's church and his people. I'm going to say it again because I didn't get any amens and I'm going to fish for some. Everything that we need exists in God's people. Even if you got five people on a core team.
Amen.
Come on with it, bro. I like to go back to those days in some ways, man. I miss it. That counts. It's like, we can't do anything without the resources. It's like, yes and amen. Let's fast and pray for more people to come. And as they come, they're not just useful. They're not just utilitarian, but they have passions and burdens and skills that I don't have. I look at the business guys in my church, and if the best thing I do is they're like, hey, I want you to come and pour coffee on a Sunday. And like, I'm not against hospitality. Do you hear me? Like, let's do coffee to the glory of Jesus on a Sunday gathering. Like, right? I'm not against that. But we look at God's people empowered with the Spirit of the living God and say, this is all that it is to serve in the church. And it's going, no. I'm convinced that God's people are waiting to be unleashed on purpose. And I know that's naive. You're like, man, not my people. You guys come talk to my people. I know. I get it. But to go, this is what we pray into. We have resources of God's people. Everything we need is in the people. Okay, so we're listening. The second overlap of resources and burden. So we're looking at the people. So this is finances. This is the gifts of God's people. This is the buildings that we might have. This is the, what I didn't mention is like nonprofits that are already doing good work, other churches who are already doing work, good work, like we talked about in the main session. We're not just praying for revival and renewal and restoration to happen in our place. We wanted to see it come in the city no matter who gets the credit. And so we might actually need to partner with some people who do it better than us and don't worry about whose name's on it. I don't mean I have to create everything. I might just need to join what God's already doing. All right. I got so many soapboxes, fam. I got to keep going. Okay. The second, this is the overlap of now we're ready to strategize. We've been listening. We got it. We're ready to strategize. And this is the programming side. This is like, all right, this is the need that we've determined. This is what C's looks like here. Now we have proximity and compassion and like real flesh and bone in it. Now we're ready to put a program together. Maybe this is showing up to somebody else's thing, or you're fitting a gap that doesn't exist right now. There's all kinds of things about strategy Again, it's in the handout. I would love to keep talking about it. I'd love to chop it up with you afterward if I could be helpful. But then you're saying, okay, God, based upon what we've heard, what would it look like to show up in a healthy way? All right, now, last one, and I'm convinced that this is 90% of any ministry, not just restoration ministry, is to show up. To show up. This is the overlap of context and burden. Because see, here's the thing. When we talk about resources and burden with strategy, is to say, what's the Lord putting down in your heart? Like, because if you really start to show up, and like, we're like walking around like an Easter egg hunt every day with Jesus, saying, God, where are you working? What are you doing? What would C's look like in this context? Here's the deal. You're going to be overwhelmed by the need. Always. I don't care where you are. You're going to be overwhelmed by it. And not everything in the kingdom of God has your name on it. You don't have to do everything. You don't have to show up. Matter of fact, you're not called to do that. But what does the Spirit of the living God put in you and your church and your people to step into? And when you got that burden, homie, go for it. Go after it. And then when you have that burden is calling you back into the context, back into the neighborhood, back into that place that you've been listening in. Now you're ready to not just do for people, listen to me, not just do for people, but to walk alongside with them, to do ministry with them, empowering their gifts. Not just a needs-based assessment, but an asset-based assessment. Like, what do you have? What dreams are in you? And we're doing this alongside in our context and hopefully in ways that show up. So a couple caveats about this. This continually reinvents itself, always. So because what happens when you start showing up, you're like, man, I thought I had a strategy. I didn't know anything. What was it Mike Tyson said? Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. It's like you do until you start showing up and you're constantly tweaking the strategy. You're constantly relisting. This is a evolving door. As we leave, I just want you to see what happens if we don't do all three of these. If you have burden, man, Jesus has told me, I got resources, I know my people, but you don't know your context. What do you think that would look like? I don't know if you've ever read the book, When Helping Hurts. If you haven't, you need to read it. But for those of us who do, it's that. It's, man, I got all the stuff, all the people, we're mobilizing volunteers. Man, we're doing it because we're zealous and humble before the Lord, but you don't know the people that you're serving. You're driving in, driving out, or whatever it is. So we don't want to do that. We want to know our context. If you have context and resources, but no burden, fam, that's a recipe for burnout. It's like, we know our place. We did the homework. We got the structures and the systems. We're killing it with strategy. But man, there's no down in us. We're not going to keep showing up in that way. But if you've got, if you've got context and burden, man, you're there. You're on the block. You're loving your context. And you know it's from the Lord, but you just don't have the resources. It's like that's, you're not going to be able to make it long-term. And so we have to be able to do sustainable work to say, look at our people, we're not going anywhere. We just come on up, Jason. I'm done. But we just did a church launch of a new church plant in our Front Range region. I love what this guy said. He looked at people that were unbelievers and there at this new church launch. He goes, hey, listen, we're here and we're not going anywhere. So even if you don't want to respond to Jesus right now, like if in 6 months you're asking questions, like we're still going to be here trying to follow Jesus. I was like, come on. But if we don't have the resources, we can't be there for the long term. And so we want to be able to have stability.
I'm done. I got to stop. So we can...
It's all good. Hey, what do you think, Derek? Yeah. That's why I brought him on our team, because I just love his heart. Just not for this, but for the prayer and just who he is, and he's a gift to me. So, hey, let me just leave you with a couple of questions, really three questions here. And it's, if you've been around any Sin Network gathering, you've heard them before, but they're really key questions that are intended to help you think about what you've heard. And so, what did you hear? What did you hear? When will you do it? And who will help you? What did you hear? When will you do it? And who will help you? Take 30 seconds and answer that for me. And so, Lord, just keep leading us through your word and by your Holy Spirit. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, where you are already at work and how you want us to join you in it and to bring others into that work as well. For your name's sake, to make a great name for you. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Indeed, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, thanks for hanging with us. Ballroom is right here, just out through these doors, and I think that dinner's already being served, so enjoy.